Well, good morning. We welcome all of you to the house of the Lord this morning. And we're so thankful that we have this wonderful ordinance in the church where you can come together and you can be thinking about all those things in your life that you would like to change or you'd like to be forgiven of, and you would like to let the Lord know that you're leaving those things here with Him and that you don't have to walk out with them this day. What a blessing we have, and we're thankful that Brother Mike is bringing the message this morning, and we ask that you pray a little quiet, silent prayer that all those things that he has to say and that the Lord wants him to say will come forth. We pray for the world. We pray for his church. We pray for each other in these latter days. I want to read to you from Romans, the 12th chapter, and Paul was writing to them and telling them a few things about concerns that he had that the Lord wants him to talk to them about. And this is what he says in the first two verses of chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has given us these words through Paul by his Son. This moment in time that we share together today cannot be repeated. The ordinance will be repeated, but not this moment. So we ask for your prayer for consideration for our service this morning and for those who are involved, and we likewise will pray for you. So as we partake, we forgive, and we ask to be forgiven. That's our prayer this morning. Amen.
Almighty God, it is in the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that we come before thee now, O Lord, in the quietness of this hour, in the stillness of this moment which will be forever etched in eternity, as we sit here now and prepare to reach forth to partake of these holy sacrament emblems. And Lord, what a privilege and an honor it is to be here in this house. And Lord, as each one has gathered here, I pray for them. Lord, I pray for each one here, each heart and each mind, each soul, that you would forgive them of their sins, Lord, that they might now even be ready to partake, that their hearts and their minds would be drawn out to remember you and the sacrifice which you made for them, that during this time of memorial, they will rejoice and be glad. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit may mingle among them, that they might feel the impress of thy Spirit, and that as your angels have surrounded this building, Lord, we pray against any evil or adverse spirits or forces that may be present that would seek to steal away a blessing. We pray that you would secure this setting, Lord, that our hearts and our minds might be free to dwell with you, to go to that place of worship even now. Lord, I would pray for my brother Mike, as he has made ready and prepared for this moment, that your Spirit might move upon him in great power, that he would have the windows of heaven opened unto him, that he would feel the movement of thy Spirit in his life and in his heart, and that you would loose his tongue, that he would have liberty and free speech with us. Lord, won't you please bless this time together? Will you please bless your people now? And now may we sup with thee, Lord. That is our desire and this is our prayer. And we ask it now humbly in the name of your only begotten Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Good morning. My preparations this morning for services today, I was reading through Isaiah chapter 57. And in 57, Isaiah's letting the people know that what they do on the Sabbath is important. And the people are saying, yeah, we fast, we pray, we keep the Lord's day holy. And Isaiah's telling the people, well, you're doing the things that you say you're doing, but you're really only doing them in action. The fasting that you do, you fast, sure, but you're really not doing it for the Lord's sake. You're finding other things to have fun and to enjoy while you do the fast instead of giving that time to the Lord. And it seems that the people just kind of were doing what they wanted to do, but, you know, on the surface, they were following what God's word told them to do, but their heart wasn't in it. When we tithe, we're commanded to tithe a certain amount. That's of our monetary living. Our time, when we tithe of our time, we're working for God's glory. And while I don't know of the Lord setting a set time that we're supposed to spend a week working, I don't know that there's a time we're not supposed to be working. And so what is it that you're giving when you tithe your time and of your substance? Are you giving what's convenient? Are you giving what you want? Are you giving what's commanded? Are you giving the widow's mite? I would suggest that as you plan out, that you make a plan, that you have a plan, and that you live your plan, that you don't just wander through this life aimlessly, but that what you do for God's glory, and you do it for a reason. Shall we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather. We pray, Lord, for your light in our minds, that you may help to guide us to give those things that you would have us to give, both monetarily and of our time, that we can plan our lives, Lord, to be in accordance with you, that we can truly work for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And send us forth united to build thy kingdom, Lord. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I sincerely wish to thank you for being here today. And I want to begin by directing your attention to the fact that we are now gathered in the house of God. Not an ordinary house. God abides here in this house. This is his home. He lives here. And everything that we, you and I, think, say, and do in the hour to come in this house, we think, say, and do directly in the presence of the God who created all things, the God of glory, the only God. Now you might think to yourself at this point, I'm always in the presence of God. And you would think rightly, you are always in the presence of God. Everything that you think, say, and do, you do in the presence of God. You can't escape that. And sometimes we think and say things, we say things that we don't think first. And we sometimes get ourselves in trouble by doing that, don't we? But I've come to the conclusion that the reason that I so enjoy this ordinance, the sacrament service, is because each one of us brings with us the Holy Spirit of God. In this house, we combine that Spirit with every hug, with every handshake, with every greeting. That Spirit is combined, it's concentrated, and it becomes magnified. It becomes even greater in our eyes and in our minds and our hearts when we come together and share that Spirit one with the other. When we come here, the reason that that happens is when we come here, it's because we're focused. We're all of one accord. We're focused on partaking the emblems of the broken body and the spilt blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do this in remembrance of Him for the purpose that we might always have His Spirit to be with us. The key word here is always. That we might always have His Spirit to be with us. And it makes me think of the Zionic condition, the Zionic endeavor, where when we have Zion, we will be together. We will combine and concentrate and magnify His Spirit all the time. That's the Zion I look forward to. That's the Zion that someday we must have. It's the Zion that we find in the Scriptures. I'll go to Genesis, the 7th chapter. Some of the most familiar Scriptures about Zion. I'll start in the 7th chapter, the 70th verse. And righteousness and truth will I cause to sweep the earth as with a flood, to gather out mine own elect from the four quarters of the earth, unto a place which I shall prepare, an holy city, that my people may gird up their loins and be looking forth for the time of my coming. For there shall be my tabernacle, and it shall be called Zion, a new Jerusalem. And the Lord said unto Enoch, then shalt thou and all thy city meet them there, and we will receive them into our bosom. And they shall see us, and we will fall upon their necks, and they shall fall upon our necks, and we will kiss each other. And there shall be mine abode, and it shall be Zion, which shall come forth out of all the creations which I have made, and for the space of 1,000 years shall the earth rest. Saints and friends, I must ask you at this time, does that describe us? That my people may gird up their loins and be looking forth for the time of my coming. Let's go back to the description in the scriptures of Enoch's city. I want you to think to yourselves if this describes us too. This is back also in the 7th chapter, the 21st verse. And the fear of the Lord was upon all nations, so great was the glory of the Lord which was upon His people. And the Lord blessed the land. And they were blessed upon the mountains and upon the high places and did flourish. And the Lord called His people Zion because they were of one heart and of one mind and dwelt in righteousness, and there were no poor among them. And in the book of Acts, the Pentecost, the 2nd chapter, I'll start in the 40th verse because this is very important. In the middle of the 40th verse it says, save yourselves. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And now it's going to start talking about the people themselves. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now it goes back and talks now about the apostles themselves. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Does that in any way describe us? In the 4th book of Nephi, the 1st chapter, 17th through 21st verse, and it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were no envyings, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God. There were no robbers, nor murderers, neither were there Lamanites, nor any manner of ites, but they were in one, the children of Christ and heirs to the kingdom of God. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings. Yea, 10 years had passed away, and the first generation from Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in all the land. These particular scriptures I use to describe what Zion could be like. I'm about to give you a list of what we must do to have that Zion today. To have the Zion that our church was commissioned to bring about. You don't need to write this down because it's not a very long list. You'll be able to remember this. I go to section 38 of the Doctrine and Covenants. If you wanted to write down this list, you could start right in the middle of your paper and write the number 1. Then you could circle it. Then you could put a big square around the circle. And then you could put a big, huge star around the square. because that's all that it would take to have Zion today. One. In the 38th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, the people of the church were preparing to move from Fayette, New York, to Ohio. And this is the counsel that they were given. I say unto you, be one. Let me read that again. For this is the word of God. I say unto you, be one. And if you are not one, ye are not mine. Brothers and sisters, if we are not His, to whom do we belong? We must be one. If I was a screamer, I would shout that to you. But I say it to you with gentleness, with tenderness, with love. You must be one. It starts in our families. If there's a problem in your families, brothers and sisters, you must fix it. Whatever that problem might be, you must fix it. If there's a problem in the congregation, you must fix it. If there's a problem in the church as a whole, we must fix it. We must fix it. We will not have Zion until we become one. We must dwell in unity. You may question in your own mind, can that be so with the situation that we are in today? Can it be so? Can we be one? And I say to you, yes. Yes, we can be one. You might think, how am I going to do that? How are we going to do that? How are we going to become the Zion that He wants us to be? How can we become one? By obeying His commandments. By loving each other. By loving everybody. And by coming out of Babylon. In order for us to be one, we must dwell together. We cannot continue in our scattered condition. I guarantee you there are people who live within a block or two blocks. Saints of the restored church that I am totally unaware of, that I am totally separated from, people I don't know that are saints with the same desires that I have, the same desires for Zion that I have. We can't remain separated. We must be gathered together. Also in section 38, verse 9, subparagraph E, he says again, as he did in the book of Acts, he says, get ye out from among the wicked, save yourselves, get ye out from among the wicked. We have to stop laboring and working to make Babylon richer. Yes, we gain our wages, we gain our salaries from Babylon. We make our livings from Babylon. It cannot continue to be that way. We have to provide for each other's needs. We have to be able to provide goods for each other. We have to be able to provide services for each other. If we have to remain in Babylon, when we return home in the evening, we have to return not just to our blood family, but to our church family, to fellowship with our church family, not to sit down and watch TV in our recliner. When we rest from our labors, we need to rest together. We need to do all things together. We need to worship together. We need to eat together. We need to serve together. We need to work together. Our businesses should be devoted to our own needs. We have to grow our own food. We can't continue to make Babylon rich and call it making a living. The 133rd Psalm, my favorite scripture, always has been, and will always continue to be my favorite scripture. The 133rd Psalm. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. My prayer, brothers and sisters, that we find the way to do that. I know our thinking. I know how we think. We can't do that. There's no way we can achieve that. We can't come out of Babylon. We can't do it. If you believe that, I would suggest to you that you engage morning, noon, and night in mighty fervent prayer, asking the Lord's forgiveness for thinking that, and asking the Lord to provide for you direction and guidance on how you can come out of Babylon so that we can be one. And I end that prayer with a mighty amen.
Beloved, behold the feast before you, and behold your servants who will attend you. As nearly as possible, would you kneel, and Elder Tony Brown will offer the blessing on the bread.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Did everyone receive their portion of the bread? Thank you. As we ask for the prayer to be read over the wine, would you kneel as nearly as possible and face the emblems, and our brother, Elder Dan Brown, will read that prayer.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
was asking the Lord this morning what it is that he would have me to bring to you by way of some pastoral comments. And as I pondered that, the thought occurred to me that I should look for Thelma's book. And I knew what that was, and I looked in my library, and not that I have a vast library, but it took me some time to find it. And I started kind of looking across the shelves and going through those, and of course, as I did that, I pulled out little pamphlets and like, oh, that's interesting, and I'd look at that, and I found it interesting that I pulled out a pamphlet that Thelonious Stevens had written on God's Great Gathering, and I thought that was quite coincidental, if you will, as we heard the remarks from Brother Mike today and Brother Randy shared a testimony during prayer service about gathering, and must be something to that. But I continued and looked through my library, and the last shelf that I looked, there was Thelma's book, and I pulled that out. It's called The Light Shall Not Go Out. And I opened up the cover leaf to that, and I completely had forgotten that she had written a note in there to Brenda and I. It says, Dear Joe and Brenda, may the Lord bless you and keep you for the great work that is before us. He will never fail us, for his light shall never go out. Much love, Thelma. And I appreciated that so much. She was very close to our family. Thelma was actually the Skylarks leader for my grandmother, Mary Schildhauer. And then she also worked with my grandma Williams, knew both sides of my family, and knew me when I was born. So she knew me all my life. And it was, I think about Thelma, and the thing that stands out in my mind the most is the day that I was ordained to the office of elder, Brother Lee grabbed me and said, come on, Thelma wants you to administer to her. And so we left church here and drove to her house. And along the way, Brother Lee coached me on the mechanics of administration. And I was fresh off of the podium, if you will. And she was the very first person I'd ever administered to. And I thought that was special as well. And as I looked through her book, I want to read a poem to you that she wrote. And it's called My Savior. Let me tell you about my Savior. Let me show you our precious Lord. He's the theme of the Holy Scriptures, but he's more. He's the living Word. He touched me by his Spirit when I was only 8. Come, be baptized as I was, he said. Come enter in at the gate. I entered the fold of this shepherd, and he's cared for me all the way. He's guided me through stormy tempests, brought me back when I've gone astray. He gave me wonderful things to do. The days flew by like a dream as we shared his way with others in life's ever ongoing stream. Now the river of life moves slowly, and I sit and remember past days when youth and strength and vigor were spent in his service and praise. I'll never forsake nor leave thee, he promised me years ago. And now I can assure you every one of those words is so. He's led me and protected me, healed me of sickness too. He's provided my daily necessities and brought me safely through. You know, in such few words, Sister Thelma was able to capture a life's testimony in that poem that she wrote. And from the first book of Peter, the second chapter, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps.
who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. That was our sister Thelma's testimony, that indeed the Lord was the shepherd and bishop of her soul, and I believe that he's the shepherd and bishop of ours as well. And we can have the faith and assurance that the light shall not go out.
Gracious and eternal Father, we have come to worship Thee and to remember that gift of Your Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who suffered there upon the cross for our salvation. Father, we are so thankful for that gift and sacrifice of Your Son. And we know, Father, that He is always there to be with us, reaching out His right hand that we might clasp onto it and walk with Him down life's journey. Father, I pray for His holy presence in our daily lives as we would leave this place, that we might be protected in His grace, and that we might always be valiant in our testimony of our hope in Christ Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen.